So good. And it's amazing. I mean, this is what church is. This is what church is. We have a lot of misconceptions about that, a lot of presuppositions about what church is, but this is what church is. Someone has a need, someone needs prayer, that's what we do. Amen? And it's crazy because I probably spent, I was going to preach on James chapter 4. Okay. And, you know, y'all have read it, you understand how deep that is and how deep we've been going. And Holy Spirit came in and totally just flipped that on its head. Now, amen? And that's okay. That's okay. I'm not going to put God in a box. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit flow however he wants to flow. Now, this isn't going to be long, but I completely forgot until Emily reminded me, it's Pentecost. I'm in the same boat as you, Bill. I forgot. Totally spaced it. Shame on me, you know? But I was like, wow. And right where I'm at in my 6 months through the Bible reading plan, I came to Acts chapter 2, and I read it the other day. I'm like, whoa. There is some meat here. And I was like just blown away by that. So that's what we're going to be in today is Acts chapter 2. So if you want to turn your Bible, we're going to go there today. This will not be long because I feel like we've already gone through, you know, what Holy Spirit was wanting to do, but I want to touch on this, it being Pentecost today, Pentecost Sunday. There's something else. The Lord's been showing me all through service today during worship. There was this spirit of heaviness and depression. I'm going to come against that right now in Jesus' name. I know we've been praying, but I'm coming against it right now in Jesus' name. Depression has to go in Jesus' name. Anxiety, strife, division, any of that junk has to go right now in Jesus' name by the blood was spilled on the cross. And the Lord showed me, he said, there's healing. Turn back to me. There's healing. Refocus. Repent. Refocus is what I was hearing from God this morning. And I believe there's more than one in here and maybe out there online as well that has been going through something. And that's what the Lord was telling me. Refocus, repent, turn back to me. So let's hop into Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. So the Spirit pours out, right? And if you look at, bear with me here, I got like three Bibles going at once. We look back to John 14, we see Jesus promises this, right? John 14, 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be within you. So we're promised this. They're waiting on this. And Holy Spirit comes in and moves in a mighty way. Right? I kind of want to know what would happen today in some of these other churches, these modern churches, if Holy Spirit really, people speaking, I mean, just a mighty move of God, right? How would that be received today? I mean, I think about these things and how it was received then, even back then, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues, in the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. So even then, this mighty move of God happens, and we see mocking happen. They don't understand it. So they must be filled with new wine, right? And Peter says, hold up, I'm going to explain it to you, right? Verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. Everyone. Not just predestined, right? Right? Amen? Everyone. So we see this, right? In the last days, it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. And he goes on further. David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let the Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. So we see the Spirit poured out, and we see Peter preaching a sermon. What do we know about Peter? Did he go to seminary? Was he a Pharisee? Was he anybody?
Come on now.
Nope. Got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And through that gifting, began to preach. Right? He didn't say, hold on, I got to go to seminary. Hold up. You guys stay here. Give me a couple years. Give me 10 years and I'll come back in 10 years and then I'll preach.
Come on now.
Nope. Sure doesn't. He just preached. Holy Spirit comes upon him.
Yes.
And that's, you'll see that. That's biblical. That's not just here. That's, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we can get gifts. We can receive gifts.
Yes.
Whether it be, you know, these spiritual gifts, we can receive the ability to teach, obviously, but we can receive supernaturally gifting, a different kind. And we look back in the Old Testament where they're building the tabernacle. I believe it's in Exodus, right? Where they're building the tabernacle and Spirit comes upon this man and he's given the ability to have create artistry and woodworking. He's given those abilities. So we can see this is a biblical thing. This is not something we need to go to school for. This is something that everybody can do. We're all commissioned to do this. We also see here, I mean, he's laying it all out. And this is what blew me away when I read this. It's like, he lays everything out. He preaches Christ crucified, resurrected, but he also goes into the divinity of Christ. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord said to my Lord. So he's also preaching his divinity. You're getting so much in this chapter. And what happens? What's the fruit of this? Because we know Holy Spirit comes. We're going to see fruit. We're going to see fruit. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Amen. How many of y'all want that? Well, it says right here, Holy Spirit, that power lives within us as believers. Right? So it's so important. So important. We don't, as we see with Peter, we don't have to go to Bible college. We don't have to be this mega church pastor. We any of us, we're all called to evangelism in a way, right? As we saw this past weekend. It's amazing. It's amazing how God is moving. You guys going out and doing that, and all the fruit bore from that, and then Holy Spirit just turning my message on its head. I mean, all these things, I do not believe in coincidences. I don't believe in luck. I believe God has a plan, right? And it's amazing. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to have these prerequisites. Moses didn't, did he? God chooses the least imaginable people to do his work. The people that you view, you may look down upon even. He chooses those people. Why? He chose David. Mighty man of God. I mean, obviously a man after God's own heart, but also an adulterer and a murderer. He still chose him. Moses, honestly, wasn't that great of a public speaker. He kept going back and forth. He's like, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. Well, you know, trust in me. Well, okay, just let Aaron do it. Right? You see this pattern here. And why do you ask yourself, why does God choose these people? Because he also chooses us. And we always talk ourselves out of this. We always talk ourselves, you know, it's like all we have to do is go to Walmart, go to Kroger, and just preach the gospel. Jesus went and died for your sins. He's crucified, resurrected, rose again on the third day, right? Preach the gospel. Don't complicate it. Let Holy Spirit do the work. Amen. Let Holy Spirit do the work. My point in saying all that is you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to understand Greek. You don't have to have been to Bible college. All you need is the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it. Don't talk yourselves out of it. Because God chooses all these people, and he chooses you. He chooses all these imperfect people. Why? I'm going to answer that question right now. Why does he choose these imperfect people? Because he wants the situation to be so, it doesn't make sense. He wants it to be so amazingly not making sense that's the miracle of it. That's the miracle of it. Somebody that can't public speak, you know, they're not a good leader necessarily. The Spirit of God comes upon them and they lead people to the promised land. A shepherd boy that nobody thought would do the things he could do. Everybody looked down on him. Spirit of God comes upon him. He's anointed. And look what he does. That's my point right here. Right here. Trust the Holy Spirit. Don't get caught up in your head. Right? The Holy Spirit will give you that seminary degree. Holy Spirit, we've seen it. And like I said back in the Old Testament, if you don't believe it, I mean, I'm telling you right now, God can download an entire book in the Bible in you. He can download all this in you. You got to ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't doubt yourself. Don't be afraid. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not. I didn't go to seminary or Bible college. I'm not a theologian. I don't speak Greek. I trust in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, because I think we're family. It terrified me this morning. I spent almost 8 hours on James chapter 4 making those notes. Okay? And I'm all about that. I have to have my notes in front of me. I'm like, okay, you know, this point, I got my 5-point and then my sub-points and my sub-sub-points and all that. It's all going to be there. And Holy Spirit just was like, nope. I'm like, all right, thank you. You know what? Thank you. You're so good. You're too good to me. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. But he gives anyways. He gives anyways. So my message with this, and to tie all this together, is you look at all these folks. You look at the apostles. They weren't perfect people, especially Peter. He had a temper. I mean, you read the scriptures and you see that they're not perfect people. But with the power of God, anything is possible. Now, what would have happened if Peter, when Jesus was crucified, because let's be honest, they all viewed Jesus Christ, they misinterpreted the scriptures just the same as the Pharisees did. When Jesus called them out for that. They thought he was going to be this military leader, and I believe to the day he was crucified, he would speak to them and teach them, and they didn't quite understand it. So when he was crucified, they scattered. Now imagine if that would have been it. They would have given up. Okay? But they didn't. And then on the day of Pentecost, because he's promised it, because he knew. Holy Spirit moves. Spirit pours out. And they go out into the world and they change the world. They change the world. And I'm telling you, I won't say it. I don't care what Reformed theology says. I don't. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings. I don't care. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Not what John Calvin says. Sorry. That right there. Sorry. Come see me after if you got a problem with it. I'm sorry. I'm going to stand on this. And I'm going to tell you right now, the gifts didn't cease. That is baloney. That is baloney. These are still needed because we're still commissioned. We are still to go out there and preach and do that. We're still to win souls. That just didn't end. That didn't end. So what we have is it's almost trifold in a way. It's we question ourselves, we doubt ourselves, which is the enemy coming in and saying, "No, you can't do that. You're not good enough. You don't have a degree in theology. You can't do that." And then we have, you know, some doctrine and theologies that are saying, "Well, you know, the elect and la, 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 la," and misinterpreting things to a point where it's like, well, what's the point of going out in the first place? We need these gifts. We need the Spirit, and we should be going out. So what I'm going to say to you in closing, Daniel, if you'd like to come up and pray or play, because we'll keep praying. It's just not long. It's just, well, Holy Spirit got a hold of me. Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and like I said, he turned this all upside down. It all upside down. I don't want to go too long, but I also want to yield to the Holy Spirit. So my message to you this morning is walk in power and authority. Walk in power and authority. They went out this weekend and they didn't care. Do you have a degree in theology? Do you? Anybody? No? No? But you know the gospel. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? That's all that matters. We're not going out to have theological debates with people. We're going out to win souls and see people set free. And that happened. Look at the fruit. And the fruit is eternal too. I mean, you don't know. We don't know what all is going to be bore of this. What more fruit, you know? You guys praying and Holy Spirit coming and moving and deliverance is happening. That's generational. Those are eternal things. So I keep going on. I keep saying I'm gonna stop. The Holy Spirit's got a hold of me, people. And I'm excited. I'm excited. This is real for me. This is real for me. So my point, like I'm saying, is don't let the devil, don't let what you got going on in your head keep you from making these generational and eternal changes, going out and praying for people, preaching the gospel. We have to look at this like life and death. Because it is. It is. This is life and death. And you may be walking through the supermarket and God says, you need to pray for that person right now. We don't have a clue. They could be, you know, tomorrow getting a gun and committing suicide. And God was saying, you need to pray for that person, because he knew they needed deliverance. He knew they needed set free. And you were there. It's divine appointment. Don't let your fear stop you. Lean on the Holy Spirit. You're not doing it on your own. That's the beauty of this. That's the overall message here. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to do this on your own. Trust in God for these things. But please, 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 please be obedient. Submit to God. Because the things you do, they're eternal when you do them for the kingdom. The kingdom things are eternal. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. We'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you poured out to give us the power to go out and minister to the lost and pray for the sick. And we yield to you, Holy Spirit. We pray you fill us. We pray for more of you. We pray as a church for unity. And we pray that we would go out and you give us boldness to go out and not be afraid. Not be afraid, but trust in you. And we pray that there be such a mighty move of God, that there be healings, deliverances, and all that fruit. We pray it would just give us the fearlessness to take those steps and go out and do these things. We pray we would be an end time remnant church that would go out and not be afraid. We pray we would walk in power and authority. And we thank you. We pray for healing. And we thank you so much. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Yeshua by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a quick question.